Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
We're starting a new series, a short series this morning. We'll be in Proverbs for the next 3 weeks, including today. So today and the next couple of Sundays. And we are going to see in God's Word just a fountain of wisdom here in the book of Proverbs. Now, I have a question for you as we begin. Have you ever come out of a season in your life or looked back on a season in your life where you were like, where you now thinking about it, you wish you could go back to that time, visit your old self, and be like, stop making those decisions now. You look back on it and you say, I wish I had known then what I know now. I wish I could tell myself how silly and foolish those decisions were then, because I know that and see that so clearly now. Anybody ever been there? If you haven't been, you probably will eventually. So, Proverbs 1, we are going to be introduced to not just a generic kind of wisdom, but wisdom from the Lord. And my prayer, even as we enter into a book of the Bible that is about wisdom, is this, that even in looking in this book about Proverbs, we will be pointed to the cross of our Lord. Just as we've sung, that our prayer would be, Lord, even as we open to find wisdom for our daily lives, for our huge decisions, for our smallest decisions, would you point us, lead us, as we've just sung, to the cross. Would you bow your hearts with me, and let's just ask the Lord together to do that this morning. Father, we love you. God, we are in awe of your love for us, your patience with us, your mercy for us, and your grace that you abundantly pour out upon us. God, thank you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for his life, death, and resurrection. Thank you that we can freely gather here this morning. Thank you for the ones who have made the sacrifice to gather here this morning. Thank you for those who would be here if they could. God, we pray for them. We pray that you would just pour out your Spirit upon them. You would encourage their hearts. You would lift up their heads, Father, even as they're separated from their church family because of circumstances outside of their control. God, we pray that you would just do a mighty work on our hearts this morning as your children. God, we pray that you would make us wise for our good and your glory. We pray that you would make those of us who have attained wisdom from you wiser. We pray that you would make those of us who haven't yet sought it out from you, God, we pray that you would make them wise this morning. We pray that you would make us hungry for wisdom. God, we pray that even as we look at wisdom in your word, God, that you would lead us to the cross. That those of us who know you would be even more in awe of the cross. And those who have yet to surrender their lives to you, God, that they would become awed by the cross and surrender their lives to you today. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1. Perhaps this morning you'll, maybe you already know, but perhaps you'll find yourself in need of wisdom. Perhaps this morning you'll find some direction for future decisions. Perhaps this morning you'll find some encouragement in how to pray for your loved ones who you see as lacking wisdom. That can be funny. they're probably praying for us too. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to dive into Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to read a chunk at a time. We are going to see a couple of things. We are going to be introduced to God's wisdom. We are going to see the root of His wisdom so that we can plant our wisdom in the correct way. We will see practically what it looks like to reject the Lord's wisdom, and we will see practically what it looks like to seek His wisdom. So, are you ready? All right. Verses 1 through 9, I want you to follow along in your copy of God's Word. Verse 1, Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. So this passage, 1 through 9, really introduces us to this entire book, and not just to this entire book, but to all of the wisdom that we find in God's Word. Introduces us to the purpose of this book. Verses 2 through 6 tell us what the purpose of this book is. It is to, for us to know, the reader to know, wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. The purpose of the book, according to verse 4, is to give prudence to the simple and knowledge and discretion to the youth. So those who are young in here, There is a piece of wisdom right here. Simply because you are young, you lack wisdom. That's not your fault. That's just the nature of this world. And so the encouragement to you is to seek wisdom. Now that doesn't leave anyone else out in here. That's just a truth for the youngest people in this room. He goes on to say, in verse 5, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. So this book of Proverbs and the wisdom contained in God's Word isn't simply for the youth, for the young. It's also for those who have already obtained wisdom, for them to gain more wisdom. So the purpose of this book is very practical. There is no other book quite like it in God's Word that is so incredibly practical. Because of that, we should be excited. Like to turn open to a page in the Bible that just hits right where we stand today. Now there's a disclaimer we need to make. And it is this. There are statements made in Proverbs, and the Proverbs are generally true, meaning that, like in chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, go there with me. When it says things like this, chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasure to your soul. I apologize. I gave you the wrong. I even made it wrong in my notes. I didn't just give it to you wrong. Gave it to myself wrong. There are verses in the book of Proverbs. For the second time, I'm not going to try to find it. I'm just going to tell you, and I'm going to encourage you to find it on your own. I'll tell you next week when we're together again. Forgive me. Lack of wisdom standing up here. So there are proverbs, there are verses in this book that say, if you obtain wisdom, if you do this, then this will be true. You will live a long life if you gain wisdom and you use it in your life. And that is generally true, meaning that most people who obtain the wisdom in this book and apply it to their lives will have longer lives on this earth, because they won't make dumb, foolish, even stupid decisions that would end their life early. But it's not true in every case. Now, hear me clearly. What I am not saying is that God's word isn't true. It is clearly true. But the purpose of this book is to give us general wisdom. In other words, the wisdom of Proverbs helps us to live life which is already hard by default. This life comes with enough bumps and bruises along the way for a wise person that we don't need to add to those bumps and bruises along the way with our foolishness. You with me? So you can't come to the Proverbs and say, well, if I obey the wisdom found in this book about money, I'll be rich. And if I obey the wisdom found in this book, I'll live until I'm 115. While you will handle your money better, and you would live longer than you would if you were making consistent dumb decisions, it does not guarantee that you will be rich. It does not guarantee that you will have a long, fruitful life here. It does guarantee some eternal benefits, and we'll get to that in a minute. But are you with me so far? It's just a disclaimer we need to make, because some people grab this book, the book of Proverbs, and they preach what we would call a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Do A and get B. Do C and get D. And that's just not true. It's not the gospel. Okay? All right. So, something else that these first nine verses point out is this. It gives us the root of wisdom, which is our first point today. We're going to have 3 points. It gives us the root of wisdom. And the root of wisdom is found in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That word knowledge is a synonym for wisdom. It's used interchangeably in these verses. So we could say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We see this repeated several times in God's word. If we were to keep going in this book here, we'd find it again in chapter 9, verse 10. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It actually uses the word wisdom there. In chapter 15, verse 33, it says the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom. In a different book in the Old Testament, in Job 28, verse 28, it says the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And the reason it says this in the very beginning of the book of Proverbs is because the fear of the Lord is the very root of wisdom. If we skip that part, we won't have the wisdom that the Lord intends us to have. So let's look at this for just a moment. There are times when we come across this word fear and we try to soften it. We replace it with the word respect, like respect of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, or awe of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But that's not this word. This word is fear. We fear Him. It's the beginning of wisdom. To realize His holiness, to realize that He is just and right in His judgment. In other words, just take me for example. If I'm going about my life and all of a sudden I come to the realization of two things, that God is perfect in His judgment, and He is perfect in the delegation of His justice, meaning that no wrong, goes unpunished. If I come to that realization, and then I come to realization number two, that I am a sinner. If I understand those two facts correctly, the proper response to God is fear. Because He is holy, I am not. Because He is just, and I am a sinner. So the proper response to the Lord is fear. Now the glorious thing is that the Lord has arranged history in such a way that He can take a sinner who realizes those things and adopt them as His children, and they can come to Him in confidence as their father. But the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. We rightly fear Him. That is the root of wisdom. So if you can think of this as a tree, picture with me, where in the book of Proverbs we have wisdom about money, we have wisdom about relationships, and those are the fruit hanging from the tree. But the root of it is the fear of the Lord. Now a man can come to God's word and pluck the fruit from the tree and even use it in his life. Be a good steward of his money. Manage his money well for 100 years and pass a good chunk of it on to his family when he passes. But if he only plucked the fruit of wisdom about money from God's word and he never feared the Lord, that will only benefit him for his life here and now. Because here's the thing about the fear of the Lord. When we take that into account, we stop at verse 7 and we see the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And we ask the question, what does that mean? Where does that lead me to begin before I apply the wisdom about money and wisdom about marriage and wisdom about all these other things that this book points me to? Where does the fear of the Lord take me? It takes me to the cross. Because when I read God's word, it tells me that the wages of my sin is my death. And when I read God's word, it tells me that He sent His Son because of His love for us. He sent His Son to die in my place and in your place. And so what the fear of the Lord does is it leads us to the cross in such a way that we would bow our knee to the Lord who loved us enough to send His Son for us. You with me? So before a man tries to apply the wisdom of God's word, before a woman tries to apply the wisdom of God's word, they must realize, you must realize, that the root of this wisdom is found at the cross, where we see God's justice poured out rightly on our sin. But praise God, it's not poured out on us, it's poured out on His perfect Son. So the root of wisdom is found at the cross. And so this basic question for me and for you today, have you been trying to pluck wisdom from the Bible and apply it to your life apart from bowing your knee to your Lord and being saved by Him? That's where it begins. Do you have the root of wisdom? Have you feared the Lord in such a way that you've bowed your knee to His Son and called out to Him for salvation from your sin? If you have, praise God. If you haven't, you can today. In fact, you need to go no further than there. You can just go ahead and say, I can tune out the preacher now. I know what I need to do today. I need to bow my knee to Jesus. Have you done that? While our foolishness is great, His mercy is greater. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we need to ask a question. Practically, what does it look like for us to lack wisdom? You still with me? Fools despise wisdom, and their decisions bring about their destruction. That's what chapter 1 tells us very clearly. I'm going to read a big chunk here, so hang tight with me. Verses 22 through 33. I'm sorry. Yeah, 20 through 33. Gives us a picture of what it looks like to lack wisdom, to reject wisdom. Verse 20, wisdom cries aloud in the streets. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me. But I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Would have none of my counsel, and they would have none of my counsel, and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Fools despise wisdom. They hate it. Their decisions as a result of despising and hating and reject wisdom, their decisions end in their destruction. Very clearly see this here. You see it throughout this beginning in verse 20. We have wisdom personified like a lady in the city, crying out with her wisdom, calling to the foolish, calling to the simple, calling to the youth, here I am, have me. Here is wisdom for you, available to them. And then she asks in verse 22, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? So what does it look like to lack wisdom? What it looks like is this. It looks like hating wisdom. It looks like ignoring instruction. It looks like practically, I believe, in the everyday life of the believer, not filling their mind and their soul with God's word. It's not an active hatred, but it is an active ignoring of God's word to us. What does it look like in the everyday life of a believer to hate God's wisdom? It looks like this. When your brothers and sisters in the Lord are crying out to you going, you're going down the wrong path. The decision you've made or the decisions you are making aren't the ones you need to be making. And you look at them and you say, you are wrong. That's what it looks like to hate wisdom, to be simple and foolish, to reject instruction. Verse 18 and 19, we back up. We see what end meets the foolish. It says, verse 18, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. So we see that their foolishness ends in their destruction. We see it again in verse 32. For the simple are killed by their turning away. The complacency of fools destroys them. So the decisions that those who hate knowledge make ends in their destruction. In everyday life, you apply what Proverbs later on gets to, the wisdom of money. And we see practical wisdom for handling money in the book of Proverbs. Practically, if somebody rejects that wisdom, they will wind up in crippling debt. Financially, they wind up in ruin, in destruction. There's wisdom for marriage in the book of Proverbs. Practically, if a man or woman ignores that in the book of Proverbs, they will practically destroy their marriage. But listen, when it comes back to the root of wisdom, practically, when a man rejects the fear of the Lord, they may make it through this life happy and successful and wealthy. But when it comes to eternity, their end is destruction. To hate knowledge, to reject the fear of the Lord. Look at it in the same chapter, it says it twice. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is beginning wisdom. Then later on in verse 29, it says, because they hated knowledge. And look what he equates that to. And did not choose to fear the Lord. In Romans chapter 3, it's a common passage we go to as we talk about the gospel, because it points out the fact that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory in Romans 3:23. But prior to that, the very beginning of that chapter, it repeats several verses from the Psalms, telling us that no one is righteous, no one does good. And in that same passage, while it says no one is righteous, no one does good, it says that there is no fear of the Lord in them. So, practically everyday life, we can ruin our lives practically, our marriages, our financial life, everything else, practically by ignoring the wisdom in this book. But for eternity, we can also destroy our lives, but not grabbing hold of the root of wisdom. Because fools despise wisdom, and their decisions bring about their destruction. One more thing I want us to see before we move away from this. I want you to read verses 11 through 19 with me. I want you to just ask the question, are these fools by themselves, or are they going about this together as a group? Verse 10, it says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will have all one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed blood, for in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Now, are these fools acting as individuals, or are they acting as a group? They're together, right? What I want us to see is this, and I think this is crucial for us to see this morning when we think about wisdom in the Lord and foolishness apart from Him. Practically, fools run in packs. We could say it like this: stupidity is a team sport. There are times when we will run into people, individuals, making foolish decisions with their lives. And they are by themselves making those decisions on their own. But you can guarantee this, that it will not take them long to find someone who will say, yes, do it. We see this on a social basis worldwide. It's not just America that is rejecting traditional norms, biblical norms for the family. We see it in countries all over the world. Together, almost a mob mentality, saying, we no longer believe this, and this is wrong, and this is right, because we, as a group, say it is. Running in a pack with their foolishness. We see it in the lives of our young people, right? We call it peer pressure, because just like the father speaking to the son here, my son, if sinners entice you, we say that to our young people. Don't give in to peer pressure. And we know that peer pressure won't come in as individuals, but it'll come in as a group, speaking to them to come in and do those things with them. But if we're honest, peer pressure doesn't end when you're no longer a teenager, right? We even see this group mentality within churches. When we're silent about sin, whether it's gossip or racism or just pick one, we're silent about sin, and by being silent, we're affirming it. We're allowing it to grow, and it starts in one individual, and then it spreads. Next thing you know, you have a whole group of people within a church struggling with the same sin. It doesn't just happen within groups of churches. It happens in churches as a whole, right? If we affirm each other with silence or affirm each other with words, like, yeah, good, that's a good decision, do it, together we will find ourselves in sin together. That's why it's so important for us to stay rooted in the fear of the Lord. Hopefully, in the community of God's people, we love each other enough that when we see one another making foolish decisions out of love for one another, we will say, in a loving way, that's foolish. You shouldn't go down that road. So that foolishness and sin will not abound among us. Fools despise wisdom. Fools together despise wisdom. Their decisions bring about their destruction. Do you see it? Finally, what does wisdom look like? Verse 5 tells us this. The wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtains guidance. Notice, this isn't saying the simple hear and increase in learning. It says the wise, those who already have obtained wisdom, continue to gain wisdom. So we can say it like this. Practically, the wise thirst for more wisdom. So, young people, a moment ago I said, by nature, to a certain extent, I could say we lack wisdom. Because as we live, hopefully the Lord grows us up in that. But there's a warning here. That as we grow up, there's never going to be a day where we have filled up, where we do not need more wisdom. So if you're 15 now, when you're 30, you're still going to need it, and you should still seek it. And if you're 80 now, and you have much more wisdom than anyone else in this room, what this verse tells us, verse 5, is that the wise seek wisdom and continue to increase in wisdom. The wise thirst for wisdom. In verse 33, read it. Verse, but whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Whoever heeds the wisdom found in this book will dwell secure and we'll be able to live at ease without dread of disaster. And again, this isn't that someone who is wise couldn't get in a car wreck on the way home and their lives completely changed today. That's not what it means. But it does mean, on the everyday scale, here and now, is that
they will not have to fear bringing more disaster upon themselves. But it also means for eternity that those who have heeded the words in this book and in the Bible as a whole, who have wound up at the foot of the cross because of their fear of the Lord, it means that regardless of what this life brings at them now, their mind can be at peace because their Lord holds them securely for now and eternity. It means that there is a day coming when Jesus will return and wipe every tear from our eyes, and disaster will be no more. Death will reign no more. It means that one day they will stand and dwell in peace for eternity with their Lord. The wise thirst for wisdom and live in peace, dwell secure, live at ease. Proverbs 1, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Fools despise wisdom and the decisions lead to their destruction, and the wise thirst for wisdom and live in peace. We should be thankful, so thankful today to our Lord and eager to worship Him that He saw fit to love us, send His Son for us, adopt us as His children, and then extend to us wisdom. Wisdom for the greatest, most influential decisions of our lives, and wisdom for the smallest decisions of our lives. What a gracious God we have. Maybe you're here today, and we're going to end today singing Here I Am to Worship, one of the songs we sang earlier today. We're going to stand and sing, and maybe you're here today and you're a Christian, and you find yourself coming in contact with God's Word in such a way that He's pointing out to you that you're in the midst of one of those seasons that you'll look back on one day and go, what was I thinking? And in His grace today, He's pointed that out to you. Maybe today you need to repent and say, Lord, I haven't been living by Your wisdom. Help me. Perhaps today you're a Christian and you have been, and you can just stand and sing for your gratefulness for the way He's protected you with His wisdom and the grace He's shown you when you've acted outside of that wisdom. Maybe you're here today and you're not a believer. You haven't surrendered your life to Christ. And you've been trying to pluck wisdom from the tree. But you can sense how fragile it is. You know that in the blink of an eye, the results of that wisdom can be gone. And you know it won't last. Perhaps today you need to heed the root of wisdom and bow your knee to the Lord. However the Spirit's leading you to respond today, I want to encourage you to do just that. Let's pray. Father, we love You. God, we thank You for how patient You are with us. For while we were fools, You sent Your Son to die on the cross for us. God, thank You for Your mercy and Your grace that You've shown us during seasons of despising instruction and hating wisdom. Lord, help us to live in fear of You, to gladly live in fear of You. And at the foot of the cross, find Your abundant grace and Your endless mercy.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you, pray with you, and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.